This is the Home Tech Podcast, show number 33 for July 7th, 2011. I am your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live on Ustream from the Average Guy Studios here in sunny and very, very hot Bellevue, Nebraska, and posted each week out at theaverageguy.tv. You can contact the show like some have, and I appreciate it when folks get to us to contact us, podcast at theaverageguy.tv. Follow us on Twitter. Just follow me at Jay Collison. That's C-O-L-L-I-S-O-N. Or find us on Facebook by searching The Average Guy Podcast. Well, I got a regular back and a guest, although, Bill, you're probably becoming a regular. And let me introduce you first. The guests always go last. So tonight we have Bill Pullman with us. He is Cable Devil at the Home Server Show Forums. Bill, how are you doing this evening?
I am doing great. Thank you for having me on yet again. You haven't kicked me off yet.
No, I think this is your third or fourth appearance, maybe.
Third, I think, yeah.
You joined us briefly at the Home Server Show Meetup. Special podcast that we did a couple weekends ago. Is that 2 weeks ago already?
God. Yeah.
Good heavens.
Wouldn't have missed it.
Yeah, time's flying by. Yeah, it'd been great to have you there. We kind of talked about it a lot last night on the Home Server Show, but it was a great meetup and surprising the numbers we had out there for it, but it was good to get you guys in there and to have everybody participate. I look forward to maybe doing one of those on the East Coast and get some East Coast guys together.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Welcome, Bill. Good to have you out tonight. One of the regulars, Christian Johnson. Christian is the smart kid and all things behind BIOSmods.com or BIOS-mods.com and is probably going to make more money than me this summer than I make in a year. Christian, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right. Glad to be back on the podcast after a mysterious 2 week summer absence, which is rare for me.
Yeah.
Had a bit of vacation and a little family time of vacation. Birthday party for my sister, so had some family obligations to kind of get in there and get out of the way. So not get out of the way, but get accomplished. So back on the stream and back on the feeds of technology. So
yeah,
been keeping busy this week with some new clients and some old problems and a lot of work
moving some mail around and setting up websites. Right, I mean that's kind of the basics.
Pretty much.
Of what you've been doing this week. So good. You and I have some work to do on our site, and I think I've got some new things coming, maybe including some video for the podcast. So pretty excited about that. We'll talk about that here in just a minute when we talk about Google Plus. Andrew is out tonight. Tonight is his birthday, so we can wish Andrew, everybody wish Andrew a happy birthday. Andrew is kind enough to actually spend quite a bit of time putting together what I think are some of the best show notes in the business. And he wasn't feeling well, as under the weather. So if you're hearing the podcast, jump out to theaverageguy.tv, jump to this podcast. It'll be after the fact, but he'll love it. Post happy birthday in the comments section for the show notes and give Andrew some kudos for all the work that he does for the show notes. We will miss him tonight, but Andrew, happy birthday. All right, this week, the big news around this week, of course, is Google Plus, and it's kind of funny because, guys, I put on my Facebook, I think it was last night, one of the links. I said, hey, I have some Google Plus invites. Does anybody want, does anybody need them? And I got the reply, what's Google Plus from folks. So for folks, for most of our listeners at this point are fairly tech savvy. And so they probably know, of course, Google Plus is the Facebook competitor. Out by Google, it is kind of the next generation of what was Google Buzz, although Google Buzz still exists and is out there. This is the more polished-looking competitor, I think, to Facebook. It has a lot of the same, and since everybody, there's 750 million of us on Facebook now, if you know Facebook, you kind of know Google Plus. It has some features we'll talk about here shortly that are maybe a little bit different than Facebook. And there's actually it's almost like a combination of Facebook and Skype, although Facebook is making some moves to get that done. Christian, I want your first impression of your thoughts around Google Plus and tell me. I know you're not there yet, and we've been trying to get invites Actually, I've been trying to get invites to both of you guys. Let me just say, Google keeps opening that window for invites. Everybody races to try and get all those invites out so folks can. It's an invite-only basis, right? Other users have to invite. It's kind of a viral type invite system. But what's your impressions of Google Plus? I mean, right on the surface, what do you think?
I'm interested because it's kind of like when there used to only be one web browser out there, and then, you know, Firefox was there and Netscape and Safari, and then now, you know, then Chrome threw its mix into the market and has surprisingly been one of the fastest growing browsers since its creation compared to all the other browsers within a 2-year period. And it's interesting to look at because here's a quote from the vice president of Google's product management team. And the quote was that in real life, we have walls and windows, and I can speak to you knowing who's in the room. But in the online world, you get a share box and you share with the whole world. So I'm sitting here trying to figure out, well, what does that really mean? So I think where Google is going to try and take a different approach is I think they're going to be a bit more filtering as to how people connect in terms of, you know, if we're dealing with a Facebook wall or a Twitter wall, that's a very public, very open, you know, very kind of general back and forth. But I think Google is trying to take it to the next level of how we group our friends, how we group our business contacts, and how we kind of keep those two separate while keeping that kind of trendy social communication platform. And I think that's where they're trying to bite the bullet that they think they have an up on Facebook, which is kind of hard to tell, especially if you don't have Google Plus invite and haven't used the software yet.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting.
Not many have so far. I mean, like I said earlier, neither one of you guys have been able to get in yet. Just so folks know, you can just go to plus.google.com, and I don't know what that looks like. Bill, what does that look like if you go to plus.google.com without an invite? What kind of screen do you get now? I log in when I do that. For either one of you guys, what comes up when you do that?
I'm getting the new version or the new look of Google Search, and it just kind of just takes me right to.
It's just the Google page, right? It's the Google search page, yeah. And so when you first log in, when you get an invite and you get logged in, the very first thing you'll notice, of course, Google has changed their search bar. Now it is all black up across the top, and you still see Gmail, calendar, documents. You know, you still see some of the old links that are up there, but when you are a registered Google Plus user, your name will be up in the corner with a plus next to it. And that's how you know you're in and logged in and know how it exists. Christian, you mentioned this idea of grouping your users. And of course, listing or trying to build lists on Facebook has generally not been doable. It's been unsuccessful. Facebook has tried a couple times to try and make grouping your friends easy. I don't think anybody uses it successfully. Google Plus does make an attempt by calling your groups now circles, and in some pretty easy to use user interfaces, you can just drag your contacts into these circles and create these groups very, very easily, which then you can filter based on groups, you can send messages based on groups, you can start video chat, which we'll talk about here in a little bit, based on groups. So you're absolutely right. This Google Plus offering is an attempt in part of the rollout is some better functionality than Facebook has around kind of putting your friends together into groups. Because I don't know, Bill, do you use a lot of Facebook? Are you a big Facebook user?
Just for the family, you know. I probably have 300 friends, but I'm on there maybe once every 2 weeks or so.
Okay, so you not a lot,
and not really. No.
So I assume you haven't grouped. You haven't tried to group your users.
No, you know, I just logged in and. I just logged in, and the funny thing was before when Christian was talking, I went to log in and asked me to, you know, if for extra security, use your cell phone. You know, so yeah, I put in my cell phone number. Then it says, well, if you want to show everyone your cell phone number, you know, it's the default. Uh-huh. It's the default checkbox. So it just makes – I'm so skittish of them.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, let me ask you this question, and Christian, I want to ask you too. Between Google and Facebook, who do you trust more? Or can you? No. Okay, so it's a wash for you between the two. Christian, Facebook, Google, do you trust either one of them any more or less?
For me, I'm not sure if it's a question of trust anymore. It's kind of changed a landscape of – it's a completely different ballgame. If you look at the actual architecture of Facebook, what do you get? You get something that can add one person to Facebook, and the next thing you know, it's syndicating your entire life before your eyes because you added maybe one or two friends, and it symbolically makes these connections without you having to do anything. So – if Google is going to do that same thing, their vantage point is going to be how do we segment groups. But I really don't think it's no longer a question of trust and security, because I think if you're someone who's into that social network, it's just a question of whether or not you trust social networking as a concept.
Okay.
But as in terms of trusting the individual company, I believe Facebook and Google are both very competent. There haven't been any strange issues like the PlayStation Network with plain encrypted passwords. I mean, they're in that regard, they're both very secure, and they've built security mechanisms and, you know, secure ways of making sure accounts aren't being hacked and so on and so forth. So I think what's going to be interesting to see is the two major points that are going to be in contention is they're both going to be able to probably make these symbolic links of friends, business contacts, etc. The question is going to be, does Google do a better job grouping them separately and making it so that you can use that for both your business and your work and your home, you know, and have these different groups where different groups, depending on what group they're added to, can see different things on your wall or your photos? And also, how do we talk and communicate live with those people? So right now Facebook has kind of a retro, kind of not so hot AIM client almost, where sometimes the chat works, it has some funky Ajax where sometimes you get the messages, sometimes you don't, and it has been rather shaky. That's one of the more shaky sides of Facebook that probably isn't as reliable as the rest of it. But now you're going to see with Google Plus, they're going to start I can guarantee you they're going to be integrating Google Voice. They're going to make it so you can start calling people right from Google Plus, and they're most likely going to have the whole video and audio package built in. So the difference there as well is that with Google Plus, it's one company, whereas Facebook is going to have to branch out to Microsoft and the Skype division to try and bring that same level of compatibility. So then to branch that even further off, the question becomes, who has a bigger fan base? Is Facebook going to profit more by having the already existing Skype database of about roughly 30 million users, I believe? Or is Google going to benefit more by starting from scratch and having all these pre-existing apps communicating and working with each other? And, you know, because Google has so many apps already, I can just see they have a leg up that Facebook doesn't right now, where they can just, you know, imagine having Google Documents where you could drag a couple people into your Google Plus and say, here's a new document, and you can share it right there without email. The integration is there, and I think it's just going to take a while for people to see that.
Yeah. You know, what would be cool, Christian, for us, let me back up a little bit and talk about their video and their chat offering. So I think this is kind of the game changer. If you've been on Facebook, you know, chat, there's no video, right? There's no video chat on Facebook today. Now, I know there's been some talk of some Skype integration in with Facebook. And right before the show, you even got invited into some enhanced chat from Facebook. And so we know that's coming as well. But the Google Plus offering allows you to have a video chat and multi-chat. To this point, Skype has really been the only video service that has allowed multi-point chat, right? Is what we're using right now. I can see Bill and I can see Christian. They can all see me. We could have Andrew in here. We could have I think there's some kind of theoretical limit on Skype, is the number. I guess it's probably based on bandwidth. But we can do this. We paid for this. We paid about $75 to make this work for a year's subscription on it. What Google Plus brings to the table is up to 10 clients in the browser, video chat for free. And so it kind of changes. And of course, Google, using their power of bandwidth and servers and their distributed nature of you know, their applications, I think may be able to actually do video chat better than Skype, or at least the way Skype is doing it right now. We've always struggled with Skype, and podcasters always talk about what a pain in the butt Skype is, because we have Skype issues, and we sometimes sound like Scott Cylons, and it doesn't work. It's been better recently, but there's still some problems there. So Christian, you'd mentioned they'll integrate chat, right? So today on Google Plus, in the left-hand column, chat is there. Skype chat, or I'm sorry, Google chat is there the way it is in Gmail. So imagine your Gmail chat section, that's in Google Plus. So I could make phone calls right out of Google Plus today just by selecting that call button, right? That's available there, and make a phone call. I think I can do that. Let me see. And I can do video. I can do some of the traditional things that are available on Google Chat today. So that's integrated. Then I can create this Hangout, right? This installs this little plugin and allows us to create. We could be doing the show actually live via Google Plus instead of using Skype. I think, again, since Facebook is going to align with Microsoft, which is going to align with Skype, there's a new video offering there. Google Plus, of course, is doing this new video offering. We're set up for two giants going head-to-head to offer video conferencing, video chat, and those kinds of things. So, Bill, video chat, let's talk about this from your perspective. You're more of an average user than probably Christian and I, from the sense, we're probably power heavy users.
Yeah.
Are you gonna jump on and encourage your family to do more video chat if Google can reduce the complexity of it and make it easier?
I don't know. From a standpoint of, I have my in-laws, my mother down in South Carolina. We're all using Skype. They know how to use it. So, from a standalone application, they know how to use it. It works. I don't want to, move them to something different, because then it's going to be another 3 months of trying to teach them how to use it. But, I believe that for the beginning of it, Google Plus will probably be for people like us who, are tech savvy as far as that goes. And then as people migrate from their comfort zone, which is going to be Facebook, obviously.
Or will they migrate? I mean, are we really going to migrate?
Right. Will they migrate? Right. Exactly.
750 million people. I mean, off Facebook. Do you really think? I mean, this is the quandary in my mind. Do we end up on two clients? Does one win and the other lose?
Yeah, I think so. Because you know what? If we're doing this podcast in another 3 months, I guarantee you we're doing it on the other service and we're using the web browser instead of Skype.
Yeah,
that's just my feeling right now.
Sure.
But just going into Facebook, I just see nothing but new things going on. Faster way to message and this and that and the other thing. So
yeah,
they're pushing forward. They're scared.
Yeah, Christian, from let me back up a little bit. One more. I said you can call right out of Google Plus. I just checked that and you can't yet. The call feature is available in Gmail, which I use to call my parents all the time. It's kind of funny. I've got my headset on, so I just hit call and find my mom's number, and I talk to her with my headset on at my computer. I mean, that seems kind of strange, but it goes right to her landline for free. Christian, in the scope of things, Facebook versus, say, Google's got a huge Gmail base and of course, a huge following that would rival Facebook. If they can create this functionality like Facebook, make it easier to group people, make it easier to do video chat, will they leapfrog Facebook from a usage standpoint, or could they leapfrog Facebook from a usage standpoint, and will people migrate off Facebook over to Google Plus, or can we have two platforms?
I think the attraction point is going to be what type of user they're attracting. Are they attracting the average teenage base starting from, 10 up, or are they attracting a small business and, individuals who are in the business world and want to still have social networking where they can integrate the tools that they need to effectively communicate with other people and not have to worry about, you know, keeping that level of professionalism. And I think what Google is going to really offer, again, is that integration with documents and voice calls so that they can do all of the things that they would need to do as a regular business person right from Google Plus, and at the same time be able to still social network with, you know, and make new connections with other business members, and then, you know, instantly just switch over profiles, and then you're back into the regular friend type familiarity that we see with Facebook. If we look at it from standalone, though, I'm pretty confident that all the features that Google has, Facebook has. You know, the Facebook features that are out now, Google is going to have there already. So it's going to be a catch-up for Facebook to try and compete with that. But at the same token, it may be more important for Facebook to distinguish itself as a social networking for everyone, or for the average, you know, teen or young person out there who wants to get on a social networking site. And Google may have more luck. You know, it's all about how we target different networks and what people want. So if Google tries to go for that same pool of people, I'd say it's a good 50-50 toss. There's a good chance of it going either way. But if they each try and use the same tools and maybe some more advanced tools to get different groups of people, they may be both as successful without really stealing from the fan base.
Guys, as Christian, as you were talking, the link to invite people to join Google Plus became live for me.
Must have been because I was giving it a good reputation.
They were. I think Google is listening to us. Maybe they've tapped into Skype, and so, you know, it's funny. I've got a whole list of. I'm almost tempted to put the podcast on hold because I have a whole list of folks who said, "Hey, make sure you send me." An invite, and traditionally this invite link has not stayed open very long. So, Christian and Bill, I just sent you guys invites, so I'm really interested if you actually get them. Let's do this live on the show. Watch your email, watch your Gmail account. That's the one I sent them to, and see, you did get it, Bill. All right, good.
Yes,
so
I did.
Why don't you take a second while we're talking, go ahead and accept that and get logged in. It's kind of interesting. While you're doing that, let me just also mention the fact that. And Christian, did you get yours?
I see it. I'm just trying to find where I can accept here.
Yeah, there should be a link in there. Google also changed their email client, the look and feel of their Gmail client, to kind of match that same look and feel that is in Google Plus. So
I just saw that. Yeah.
Yeah.
On the right hand side, I had a red link that says, "Look at the new version of Gmail."
Yeah.
Blah blah blah.
Yeah. I'll be honest. No. You're great. Thanks for jumping in there. I'll be honest with you guys. I have resisted using Gmail in the web client because the web interface is so bad. There's just crap everywhere, and it is, in my opinion, it's hard to use Gmail at time. And so if you're the average user, you're probably a Hotmail, you're probably a Yahoo, lots of folks using Gmail. So if you're the average guy and you have been using Gmail, pop in there and look for that link. It says see our preview, and it gives you some instructions on how to upgrade, but at least turn on the new look and feel. It is a lot cleaner and looks a lot better and will mirror that of Google Plus. When you get accepted you're in and using that. So some pretty cool functionality that they've kind of rolled out all at once. Bill, you had mentioned to me the Google Music beta as well, which I got invited to and am in as well. I bet that's what's – you know, Christian, you were saying I was having some bandwidth issues, and I bet it was Google Music. Uh-huh. Just before the show, I had – based on your show notes, I thought, oh yeah, I did get that invite to Google Music. So I logged in. I bet it was uploading music and messing with my bandwidth a little bit.
You know what else is not
very
fair?
Awesome.
What's that?
I put in my actual birth date and it's telling me I'm not old enough and I can't change my birth date.
Oh no.
That's just wrong.
Oh, that hurts.
You have to be 19?
That's just wrong. I have no idea. That's just wrong. It's insane. I got to try deleting my temp files and see if I can get it to...
That's frustrating, yeah.
It's unbelievable.
You know what's worse than that? I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Bill.
Worse than that was my first suggestions for a pal, I guess, to invite. I don't know what you call it here yet. Is Dave McCabe.
Yeah.
First.
Ding.
That's good. Well, they're going to really work hard to put those social networks together. You know, the reason they're doing this, right, is they're missing social search. Right, I mean, Facebook is so dominating what people are doing socially, and there is so much value in what we do from a social perspective. I mean, the things I put into my status update are clues to advertising for me, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we see that
sure.
kind of on Facebook, and Google is missing out on that stream of social consciousness, so to speak, to get people to or to be able to target ads to them. I think at the bottom line is that they want search. I mean, they want social for search. And so it's, I'm getting a note here from Seymour in chat. He wants me to invite him. So let me.
I already did.
Done. Oh, good. Good.
Yeah.
So you got some invites as well?
Yeah, I got eight or a couple. It says invite people to join. So I'm hitting it.
Nice.
Yeah, I've been officially blocked out for good. So.
Oh,
do you want to give me another email address, maybe, Christian?
Yes. I'm trying to think. But will it accept non-Gmails?
I've got your Verizon.
Would the average guy email work?
Yeah, let me try that one real quick here. It's just Christian, right?
Yep.
And I want to know when you're done is on the underneath my picture. It says welcome on the left hand side. It says stream friends, family, acquaintances, following incoming notifications. Curious what that does before I start clicking on everything here.
Say that again, Bill. I just sent that to you, Christian.
On the left hand side of my Google Plus homepage, it has my picture of me fishing. It says welcome. Then it says stream. Friends, family, acquaintances, following incoming notifications. What exactly does that do? Do you know?
I don't exactly know, but okay. that does track. Is that that's the upper right hand corner?
It's actually the left hand side of the pane, not up top by the black bar. But if you see Google Plus, and where I'm looking, it shows my picture, my name. Then it shows welcome, and then right underneath there it says stream, and it gives me a couple options what to stream. And I'm not really sure, is that who I'm streaming to? What am I sucking in?
Yes, that is a filter that you can use to say, in the stream that I am seeing, show me the information for these circles. So again, circles are groups or lists, if we're going to use Facebook terminology. Facebook. Listen to me. But hey, and Vinyl Freak, do you have a Gmail account? That I think those are going through faster than non-Gmail accounts at this point. If you don't, that's fine. I'll send you an invite. There we go. That's kind of a natural, that's kind of the way you can filter your stream very, very quickly. Again, giving you the ability to quickly limit what you see based on these groups, which is everybody has wanted groups. I mean, that's been the problem. Right. On Facebook, I have 600 friends or 700 friends. Seeing them all stream at once is drinking from a fire hose at times. Right. There are times I just want to see my family, but I never wanted to go into Facebook and create the family lists to make that work. And all right, Vinyl Freak, I am going to send you an invite right now.
Guess my invite didn't work.
Oh, did you send him one?
Yeah, I sent him one, but...
Did you send it to the Hotmail?
The first one he gave me. Yeah, possibly.
Yeah, I think, guys, what's happening, too, is Gmail accounts are getting accepted, and I think they're not accepting non-Gmail accounts at this point. So I think your odds are better if you use your Gmail account. I had sent... Although, Christian, I sent you an invite to your averageguy.tv account. Did you get one? Did you get it?
I'm trying again. I haven't seen anything yet.
Okay. Yeah, I think I have a sneaking suspicion that those non-Gmail accounts are getting blocked at the moment.
Yeah, I think they are because I don't see anything.
Yeah. Yeah, which is too bad for folks.
How long have you been on it, Jim?
About five, let's see, a week maybe?
Okay.
5 days or something?
I see this start a hangout now. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so that hangout feature is the video chat, right? And so... If I click start a hangout in my stream, it's going to say Jim started a hangout. And this is a kind of a cool, this is a cool deal. This is what I think is cool. So I start the hangout and I say, I want to invite, and this is where what I like it. I can go public if I want, or I can limit that down to the circle. So I created a circle called Tech Guys, and it's got you and Christian and all the other tech guys that I hang out with on the Home Server Show. So I can say, all I want to do is limit this. The only ones that can see that are the tech guys. And then in your stream, you'll see, hey, Jim started a hangout. That means I've invited you to come and chat, right? It's like sitting on the porch waiting for you to walk down the sidewalk. And I can say, hey, Bill, you want to chat for a second, right? It's that kind of idea. So you join me in chat, and Christian joins me in chat, and Andrew, and we'll say Dave, right? We're all chatting. And then I say, and this is where it's superior to Skype. And then I say, guys, I got to go. And you say, see ya, and I leave, and your chat, that chat still exists. It doesn't, you know, if we were on Skype and I originated the call, as soon as I end that call, the conversation is ended at that point. It's like, I've thrown you out of my house, get out, you guys go home, right? But with Hangout on Google Plus, I leave, I just say, guys, lock up on the way out, you know? The chat is over when the last person leaves the hangout, so to speak. And so it's, I think from a social standpoint, that does create a more favorable chat environment. It also, and I love that feature of it telling folks that it is going to, you know, at this point, it's I'm making the chat available and open, you know, for other folks to join me if they want to. So that is
really neat.
Yeah, I think that's one of the best features of Google Plus that I like. One, we're going to continue to exploit here on the Home Tech Podcast. I could do this in Skype, but I think we're going to do some testing out where we run some video. We'll join in a hangout. Us, we'll broadcast the audio from the hangout across Ustream, and we'll do it with video. So we'll see how that goes. I think that might be a real viable way of us getting video out to folks so they can see the podcast.
You know, it's really neat because I'm using the circle or whatever they're calling them now, and I just did Tech Guys, and I grabbed a couple people, dropped it into the circle, a couple family members that aren't, you know, some of them aren't even Gmail, you know, customers, and friends and acquaintances, and boom, all of a sudden I can actually stream my feeds. If I don't want to hear from my mother, I just turn off family, yeah. Go to tech, you know, whatever it may be. It's actually really, really, really probably a great idea. What scares me about these circles things, it sounds like Windows Mobile, you know, just a little bit more with their little circle and how they're doing that, doing everything with the social media with Windows 8 and Windows Mobile.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'll be honest, it works better in Chrome. I mean, there's no surprise. It works better in Chrome than it does in IE at this point. And when I say better, the plugin installs a lot easier. You need, if you're going to do video chat, you need a little small little plugin. And there's about 8 or 10 clicks in Explorer. In Chrome, it's seamless. You just click install, it does its thing, and you're done. So another reason, at least I prefer to use Chrome for this. So if you're listening, hopefully I'll get a chance to exhaust my I've got to run a show, so I'll get a chance to exhaust the invites before those things close. Guys, let's move on. Christian, let's go ahead and move into Christian's Corner.
All right. So
I don't have the music queued up. Bummer.
Come on, Jim.
I'm sorry.
Come on, Jim. Don't worry. We're going to have a cool revision, too, for next week, so we'll just keep everyone contained with excitement for next week's lead-in. So starting with a little story here, I have not had any issues with getting a virus in over 3 years where I haven't even seen attempts. And first time this week, I was encountering a backdoor virus, 5 of them all at once, trying to infiltrate my PC. And there's a couple warning signs that I picked up on that I think are really helpful for people running Windows 7 that can help make sure that if you are getting intruded that you can prevent these attacks. So when the virus came up, the first thing I noticed was that every second or so I would get a UAC pop-up, the user account control pop-up that said, do you want to allow this program to run? And under it, it kept saying MSI exec. And I'm sitting here thinking, well, I haven't installed anything, or I'm not trying to install anything, so why would this be coming up otherwise? So I hit no once, because normally if you hit no, it will go away, and it means that it was a program you created. But every time I hit no, funny enough, the dialogue kept coming back up and back up. So obviously it was trying to force request permission so that that MSI executable could install and infect the PC. And the backdoor itself was actually a virus that does remote computer control. So it was basically trying to create a proxy so that it could use my computer remotely. So what came to the rescue first? Microsoft Security Essentials was on the scene within a half a second.
That's That's good to hear, Christian. Yeah.
I mean, ahead of Avira, the second it started happening with UAC, Security Essentials was on the scene and picked up the five instances it had started and was able to quarantine them and remove them on the spot. And that was fantastic. And then I went ahead just to be safe, rebooted back into safe mode and did a full scan to make sure everything was cleared out. But Security Essentials was on the scene before Avira and really just did a nice job of dishing it out and getting it cleaned out. Now, the only side effect that happened is part of the virus's heuristics, or you know, properties to it, was that it had changed all of my browser settings to use a localhost proxy. It changed it from, you know, like using your LAN connection to it changed the proxy field to 127.0.0.1, which means it's right. Basically the internal address for your computer. Right. And what it was doing was it was just picking a random port so that the average user would not be able to understand why they couldn't get out to the internet. So even though I was able to ping sites like google.com, I couldn't get out to any browser. And even I was confused for a good 40 minutes as to what was going on. So for someone who is thinking, oh, maybe this is a virus, let me go download that software that I never bothered installing 2 years ago to get rid of it, they wouldn't be able to, because they just wouldn't have any idea. So that was the only side effect. And actually, to counteract that, there is a group policy with Server 2008 that disables people trying to even edit that. So I put that security measure in place on our network, and also use, now I've also implemented something called network access protection. And what that does is any network, any computer on the network has to meet a certain amount of security updates from Microsoft and has to be basically a profile of an acceptable PC to join the network, so that there's no chances of malware going across the network. So that's really the security story. And to tie that into our speed tip of the week at Christian's Corner, we're looking at what's called the host file. A host file is built into Microsoft's drivers edition folder, and what it is it's a list of alternate DNS mappings. And what some creative people have done is kept a master list of every single ad site, every single site that has a Trojan or spiteware, every single site that has a pop-up ad, and has put this in this host list. And what it does is it resolves that ad site or that link to 127.0.0.1. And what that does is it blocks the ad from ever being able to start to load. And there's an MVP group that maintains this list. And I have the most recent list from 2011. I guarantee you, no matter what website you go on, you will never see an advertisement again. You'll just see a white box or cannot display this page. You will never get a pop-up on a sketchy site. It is just incredible how it can stop the advertisements without any software or BS antivirus guards, and you're protecting yourself from a malicious ad downloading that spyware. So to find out more information, it'll be in the show notes. WinHelp2002.mvps.org does the host's implementation, and it gives a nice little command prompt to do the installer. Go ahead, Bill.
I'm sorry. Hey, you know, because you were talking about the virus, and a lot of times the first thing we'll go into is check the host lookup and see if they played with that, you know, as far as the virus corrupting that file. The question I have is, obviously, let's say your small business or your home network, you need to actually add these to your host file every time, correct? To every computer, I should say. Not just, you know, a main server. It doesn't go out to every main server. So every person would need to grab all this host information and put it into their host file.
Right. So what they would do to avoid the manual copying and pasting is just download the zip from this site and then just run the command prompt, and it'll automatically add all those entries so you don't have to go digging through the System32 folder.
Oh, that's great. Okay, that's awesome.
So to keep moving on, we have our deal of the week, as always, which is I'm looking into this SSD. I'm obsessed with it, and a lot of people have been obsessed with it because it's a rock-solid SSD, solid-state drive. It's the Intel X25M SSD, which has been a rock-solid platform, and it's so popular that it's sold out on Newegg. And it's expected to be back in September 9th. So if you want to mark your calendars and you're thinking about nabbing an SSD, this is the one to get, and probably Newegg is the one to get it through. But I've also seen it on retailer sites from Amazon and other links. So that's going to be the bird ideal to keep your eyes out for, because I have a feeling by September that price is going to drop, and that's a really good SSD to start kicking your PC in a new level of speed you haven't seen. And just, again, fascinating performance over a lot of other solid-state disks and fascinating performance over a regular hard drive. So great upgrade if you're in a netbook. Netbooks, you can probably put a lower-grade SSD, and this is really for nice desktop performance to have a cruising machine. So we'll have that in the show notes as well. And the last bit of news is the Internet Explorer 10 platform preview is now out. So kind of interesting how we were talking about in our last browser war discussion how browsers are going to start more frequently updating and keeping their clients involved. And we saw that when Firefox 5 came out pretty instantly after 4, and it looks like Internet Explorer is trying to make that same battle. So IE10 platform preview is out, which is going to feature some new CSS3 features and some new dynamic browsing abilities. So I'm kind of interested to see where that takes us. So that's our wrap on Christian's Corner.
Very good, Christian. You were talking, I was frantically trying to send folks invites, and that invite link disappeared on me, and I thought, oh no. Yeah. But I think that all I needed to do is refresh my browser. So it's like madmen trying to get as many invites out there as we can to folks to get them on. So thanks. You know, Christian, from an SSD perspective, I've been considering, or one of my thoughts, I have an older Mac. So I have a PowerBook G4. I don't have the, you know, I would need, it's a power PC, so I can only go up to Leopard. So I think that's 10.5 on that, but it's a little bit slow. I have thought about getting an SSD, throwing it in the Mac, and because it's at this point, I think it is the hard drive that is kind of the bottleneck for the, you know, for the OS at this point. Do you I know you're not a Mac guy, but if I throw an SSD in there, am I going to get some better performance out of it from a response?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah.
Incredible. It's not a, amount, especially on a laptop. Yeah,
especially with even stuff like Apple. I mean, any OS is just going to skyrocket from that. And the Intel drive has been one of the most reliable, least RMAs with really high-grade density. So pretty excited about that.
Well, speaking of that, if anybody has a copy of Leopard, I know that's a couple versions back, and they want to donate it to a testing cause of mine. I keep the Mac around to test various things that we do here on both the Home Server Show and the Home Tech Podcast. And they're just they're not doing anything with it. And you have a key that would that'd get me along. Let me know. podcast@theaverageguy.tv. Boy, listen, that's a shameless. Is that shameless, Bill? You're laughing at me.
That's great. That's just the way to plug away. You know, get what you need by the masses.
I cannot. You know, they wanna. I go on eBay to find that, and they want to charge me an arm and a leg for. You know, and I'm like, guys, this is a version that's up until Lion came out. I mean, it was a version behind, and it's been a couple years. I think Snow Leopard has been out for 2 years now, and I'm like, come on, it's an old OS. Just give it up for $25 so I can, you know, I can upgrade this. And I thought the SSD would bring some life back to it. And it's now, as I get farther and farther away from the most recent Mac OS, it becomes less and less handy for testing because the, you know, most Mac users are moving up pretty quick. But that'd still be nice. If you're going to throw it away, let me know. podcast@theaverageguy.tv. All right, Bill, in the notes here, you have a very interesting home tech tool, and these are my favorite. So you said, oh, I don't know if this is going to fit on the show, but this is my favorite. Are you telling me I can use a router to control my smoker? Is that?
I mean, you know as much as I do. I literally tripped over this maybe a half hour before the podcast, but it looks like they're using everyone knows the WRT54G Linksys router. It was just the best router in the world, probably until you got to version 4. But you could hack the heck out of it. It looks like they are automatically controlling the temperature control of a barbecue smoker. I mean, something about that is cool, even if you don't smoke anything. It's just neat.
Yeah, so I imagine you put a little software on the router that interfaces out to this temperature control module for the smoker, and then from your inside your house, you can log into this web page and ensure that the temperature inside your smoker is exactly 190 degrees or whatever you want it to be, right?
I guess so, and I know nothing about smoking, but it seems like it takes a long time, and maybe that's why I need the wireless router. And I think it's in bridge mode too, so the wireless router in bridge mode to work on your network. And I guess smoking really takes a long time. I guess
it does.
You're smoking.
It does. Most of those guys put that meat in, and it needs to sit for six or 7 hours or whatever in there. And so, I guess we'll drop the link to this in the show notes so folks can go out there and take a peek at it themselves. But that's exactly what I'm talking about on the Home Tech Podcast, this marriage of home stuff, barbecues, and technology, Linksys routers. I love it. Good find, Bill. What else do you have for us?
The other thing, Google Plus story that we're talking about, and they said they said be public or get deleted. And I believe that stands for your full name, which like for mine would be Bill Pullman, not Cable Devil. But I believe that what they're doing is they're trying to get everyone as public as possible. The more public your profile is, the more interchange, the more users you're going to have connecting to you, and the faster that this Google Plus will take off. I don't know if that's the exact reason why they're doing it, but it says keep in mind that your full name and gender are the only required information to be displayed on your profile. I find that interesting. Again, I don't like Facebook doing things that you didn't tell me to do. Tell me that you're going to do. If I didn't opt in, I don't want to have to opt out. So, and that's one thing I was looking at this. But now that I have Google Plus, all of a sudden for the last half hour, I'm pretty excited. So I'll play with it.
Yeah, you'll get in there, and I get about a invite or two. Invite's not the right word, but I get someone to say, hey, would you connect with me? Can I put you in this circle? Will you be, that kind of thing. So it's growing. I think it's going to, the popularity of it is intense right now among the tech enthusiasts. And I think there'll be quite a bit of movement. It'll plateau. And then depending upon how the public sees it, but you're absolutely right, Bill. The average guy needs to be concerned about just how much of their private information they're putting out there. Just make sure you understand the security pieces. That has been a Facebook fail for the most part. They have not done a great job when they've changed the security features of letting the users know. Hopefully Google will do a better job of that. But of course, Christian, you said this best at the very beginning of the podcast, is that when you're out there, I think the default assumption is that you're public.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it is the assumption.
Right.
The decision you're making is not who to trust. The decision you're making is whether you are into social networking or not.
Right. Yeah. And I think you inherently take on this security risk or a security risk profile when you go on social media. You're accepting all that is then public that is out there and everything. I was trying to find somebody today. I had gotten invited to something, and there was a couple people on the list, and these were not colleagues. And so I was saying, I wonder who else is coming to the meeting. And I actually couldn't find this person on any social networks. I'm like, are you freaking kidding
me?
That's
impossible.
Yeah, I looked. And I knew I had the right name because I found a few links to them in other documents on the web where they had been listed in a contact registry or something like that. But I couldn't find them on LinkedIn. I couldn't find them on Facebook. None of those traditional sources were coming out. that has become, and Christian, you don't deal with this too much, but Bill, maybe you do some. I do a lot of hiring in the capacity I'm in. And from a hiring standpoint, we've gotten into more Googling for folks, right? Tracking them down on their social networks before they come in. And I've been surprised. I probably shouldn't be, but I have been surprised at how many people have said when they've come in to interview with me, say, and I listen to your podcasts on the AverageGuy.tv. They got my name before they came in, and they were trying to do some research on me to get a game up or to get a leg up on the interview process. They wanted to understand who I was and what I did. And of course, you know, I am totally out there from a social standpoint.
Now,
I
mean, sure.
I'm wide open. So they're like, oh, I listen to the podcasts and one gal even said, I don't like the way your website's designed.
Oh,
needless to say,
in the interview,
sure.
I'm like, really? I'm like,
that's a great way to start the interview off.
Well, it wasn't in the beginning. We had been, I think I had mentioned something like, you know, so I was sharing some things about me, and I said, and I, on the side, I do some podcasting and some blogging. And she goes, oh yeah, I know. I went out to that site and I checked it out. And she said, can I give you a little suggestion? I'm like, oh God, here it comes.
Hire Christian.
I said, yeah. She's like, I don't like the way it was laid out. And I said, really? I said, we just made some changes. So I had logged in, and it had been after Christian and I had done some cleanup. So I logged in and we looked at it together. She goes, oh, no, that's different than the last time I saw it. That looks a lot better. Now, she might have been covering her tracks.
Yeah, right.
Boy, I would love to know if she got hired.
Actually, she did. She did.
Good
so
for her.
I just thought, I try not to let that stuff get, I mean, that's the social, I accept the risk. When I go out there socially and I throw that stuff out there, I take the risk.
It's really funny you say that because, you know, basically corporations have been known to really dig deep into your, you know, social, you know, searching anything they can to find out about a prospect. And now the prospects are doing it back to the individual interviewer, you know, which is different, you know. It's pretty neat.
Yeah. Well, it goes both ways, I guess, was my point on that. It gives me the power to find people and understand, you know, who they are before they get there, which is, you know, if you're looking for a job, be careful what you're posting on social networks, right? I mean, it's always interesting to me how people's LinkedIn profiles, when they're out looking for jobs, go from kind of spotty to just perfect, right? You can kind of tell if you're watching somebody on LinkedIn and then there's all these updates to their LinkedIn profile, you're like, oh, they're looking for a job. You know, because that's the place a lot of folks go from a business perspective. The LinkedIn, their LinkedIn profile has become their resume in a lot of ways. And you can almost build, Christian, you know, you talked about you're building this database of life that you can, you can do that. And you had mentioned in that, you know, one of your goals is that for to be kind of your resume, so to speak. I think today LinkedIn serves that kind of purpose. Not, and it doesn't do it always well, but it has become kind of the online resume for folks out there. Christian, do you even have a LinkedIn account?
No, I do not.
Okay.
It wasn't really presented to me, actually. Not that it should have been presented, but, you know, I just never really got into it. But my whole idea behind ChristianNet is the fact that your resume is static until someone wants to find out more about a section of your resume, and then they can search that secure database. So how it's set up, if anyone has missed the show we talked about this on briefly, it's my digital life archive put into an SQL database. And what that means is that I'm putting my entire life in a database that is stored on a computer and a server. And when someone goes to ChristianNet, which is the website you accessed at, which is my name, then you see a public display of my site with very public generic things that are going on. You can see the public feed. Then when you log in, based on, you know, whether you're someone who's looking for my resume, you're a friend, family member, business associate, whatever you're grouped in based on the level of access on my site, you see different things in the feed. Kind of like what I'm thinking is going to be going on with Google Plus. But my idea that makes it different is that there's a component where they'll be able to see that static resume. And when they see something like, has been a programmer for 4 years with X, Y, and Z, a company, they can search that term in the database, and based on who they're logged in as, the database will return every instance in my life that has a connection to that term that they searched.
Yeah. No, that's very, very cool, Christian. Do you think that's something then you'll be able to duplicate for other people? So will I be able to create my own gym net?
So yeah. So everyone, yeah, exactly. Exactly, yeah. Everyone had their own little network that they could do that on. But for right now, I just want to see if I can get it working for one person, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's cool. I think you're onto something there. And how many hours of work are you putting into that a week, do you think, average?
I had been putting north of 3 hours a day, actually, on it. For a while, I took a bit of a break to get some of this client work off my desk. So I'm hoping to get programming back with that in August, but I'm also in a process of alpha coding a new subsonic add-in for Windows Vail and home server 2011. So
yeah,
I
had gotten a question about on Twitter from a listener on subsonic, and I'd say, sorry, that's the Johnson family. You need to contact them. And so he was kind enough to send me a link to the forums where your dad jumped in, and the two of them kind of went back and forth on the question. So that's pretty cool. I know you guys are big into the subsonic space.
Right.
So if folks have questions on that, they can contact you guys.
Yeah, the subsonic forums are starting to get a little wave of that subsonic show we did too.
Yeah, that's very cool. Yeah, it's good stuff. Well, guys, anything else? I think I know both of you are off to some other engagements this evening, so we'll wrap this thing up. Any other loose ends that I left untied? All right, I'll take that silence as no.
I think that's a sandwich, a wrap, and a Pepsi on the table.
Oh, man, now I'm hungry for some curly fries. I will remind
no
folks.
No starch.
I will remind folks that if they want to contact the show, let us know what you'd like to hear us talk about. If you found the next latest invention, like a wireless router attached to a smoker, let us know. You can send us a podcast, or you can send us an email, podcast@theaverageguy.tv. Of course, you can follow me on Twitter @JayCollison, and we always throw all the other notes that we talk about in the show notes over at theaverageguy.tv. Remember, today is Andrew's birthday, and so if you get a second to go out to theaverageguy.tv after we post this show, if you're listening to the live version, you probably know how to get a hold of Andrew, so you can go ahead and just shoot that off now. You could use a little bit of a happy birthday from you. If you're listening to the recorded version of this, drop out to theaverageguy.tv, go into the post, and wish Andrew, thank him, one, for doing a great job on the show notes, and two, drop a little note of a comment about how much you appreciate those at theaverageguy.tv. Mm-hmm. All right, guys, Thursday night next week. Bill, thanks for coming in tonight, and can we get you scheduled for August, the week after August 18th, whatever that is, August 20-something? Does that sound like I can
hopefully
put you
on something to say? That'd be fine. Yes.
All right. We'll get you on the list and get you back on the show. Christian, great having you out again tonight. And it's always good to catch up with you. You guys have a great evening, and we'll see you back next time. This is a wrap for the Home Tech Podcast. Good night.
Night, guys.
Happy birthday, Andrew.
Sorry, man.
Age. Come on, people. This is social networking. This is, you know, this is a good age range.
I do think I remember them saying they were going to limit that to like 18 or 19. And at the time, I didn't even think twice about it.
Should have put my dad's birthday.
Was dirt even invented back then?
Oh, I don't know. I think it was sometime around the wheel.
That's awesome.